Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious, holy, and faithful Lord, we thank you, O Lord, for this time, Lord, that thou hast provided in thy great providence for thy children. Lord, we thank you for the healing thou hast done to bring those here, that, including myself, Lord, that I missed last week. Lord, I pray that you would come now. Come with thy power. Come with thy presence, that we may know, Lord, that thou art here. Lord, I pray that you would settle all of our thoughts. Deal with all the things that cause us anxiety and all the things that would take us away from thy word, take us away from thee. Lord, may you bring our thoughts and our hearts and our minds subject unto thee this hour and the hour to come, that, Lord, thy people may be fed at thy table. We ask, O Lord, for thy name to be glorified, and, Lord, for thee to come as thou would see fit, anoint this message for the praise and glory of thy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As many of you know, it's been a hard week. It's a hard life for the child of God. One of the nights this week, I was sitting at my desk and lamenting great sorrow over the events of the day, over the events of the hour, events of the minutes, the things that were coming in violently. And as my mind started to drift off to woe is me, and the anguish came to my soul, the Lord just kind of took me away and dropped a kind word to my soul that this doesn't take place in the world's heart. The world doesn't know anything about this struggle. The world doesn't know anything about the soul struggle and the comforts of the soul. And as I had my Bible open and the Lord drew me to the Word, He came across and He brought me to one verse that hadn't been able to leave me since then, and that's our focal verse this morning. It's taken on a whole new meaning to me. And I hope it does to you this day as He comes with power. And that's found in John chapter 14. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Wow. It seems to me that as life gets hard, as the attacks of Satan come, as the afflictions come mightily and powerfully, as you see the ones around you that you love so dearly in the Lord, and you see them suffer, and you see the sorrow that comes, I believe the only thing, the only remedy for the child of God is the presence of his Lord. To be brought into the presence of the Lord. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Two precious promises. Two of them tied up in one thing, the I will of Christ. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But you know, they're just promises. We in this life read the promises in the Word. We make promises to one another. But that promise must be attended with the faith of the Son of God. He must come in the power of the Holy Ghost for us to believe it. I watched some things this week unfolded before my eyes that scared me tremendously. My flesh, my, My soul was very bothered by things. The Lord kept bringing me back to, I will not leave you comfortless. You know, the Greek word for comfortless here, you might find to be interesting. It's orphan. I will not leave you an orphan. And immediately when I stumbled upon that, I thought about Isaiah 9:6, where the Lord Jesus Christ is, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And we stumble over that sometimes because we think of the Father being the Father, but that name is given to Christ too. You think of that word, I will not leave you as an orphan. I think of when the Lord's love is upon me for my children, and I know what that nurturing love is. So I get a picture of this and that. I get a picture of what Christ's love is to His people. And when He says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will not leave you as an orphan, it speaks to my soul that I'm His child, that I'm the brother of Christ, that I have Heavenly Father. It's His presence. And when sin separates us from that presence, we can cry. We can cry out, and we can beg for Him. But when He comes, the remedy of reading the Word and praying, and but when He comes with that power and His presence is felt in your soul. David said in Psalm 51:11, cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. We're going to look later what Christ said about the Holy Spirit, that He will abide with you forever. He abides with the child of God forever. So how could David say this? David was being exercised in his soul. There are times in our life when we don't believe the Lord is there. It is unbelief. Our sin and our wandering from how bad it is in the situation to how bad it could be. And as Satan hurls his darts and as he throws his fiery darts at us, there seems to be a separation. David cried out, cast me not away from Thy presence. In Psalm 28:1, he wrote these words. He said, unto Thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if Thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. For the child of God, without the presence of Christ in his soul, it is hell. It is hell on earth. I witnessed the one this week, the most dearest one to me on this earth. At the lowest time and the most pain and the agony of these muscle spasms or the violence of them, to hear her cry for mercy, scream for mercy, I sat there powerless. And I know in my heart I'd do anything for her, and I tried. I'd give her all the medication she's supposed to have. I'd get a heating pad. I'd get a ice pack. I'd do everything the doctor said. And they'd come more violently. The screaming would become more violently. And then in the midst of it, she told me, just talk to me about the cross. Spent the next 5-10 minutes preaching a little sermon to her about the cross. That's why she probably picked that song this morning, because when she surveyed the wondrous cross, How do you smile in the middle of all that? It's His presence. And when His presence comes to you that way, the body can hurt. But when the soul is healed, when the soul is in His presence, in His love, in His faith, in His mercy, that's where the comfort is. Keep your finger there a minute and turn with me over to Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7. David was brought to this wondrous truth. In the one we just looked at in Psalm 28, when he cried out, he said, "Lord, if you're silent to me and if you're not with me, it's just like I'm in hell." Well, then we have the height of faith here, the faith given by the Son of God to apprehend the truth, to apprehend the promise that I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And beginning in verse 7, he says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me." And that's quite a statement. Even the night shall be light about me. One of the things I noticed this week in the violence of this affliction that the Lord gave my wife is that Satan came the most in the night hours. In the middle of the night, he'd come to the mind and he'd start with all of these horrible, horrible things. She'd wake up paralyzed in a fear and tell me something that I knew she was convinced that was going to take place in her life. Whether it was death or she was going to the hospital or whatever it was. Now, I could recognize it as an attack. But she couldn't. Because she couldn't see His presence. When the Lord reveals His presence, the darkness, the night, listen to this. "Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me." The light of Christ shines through that darkness. "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." You know, Christ is in that too. He is the Lord of the light, and He is the Lord of the darkness. And we may say, no, the prince of the power of the air, he's the Lord of the darkness. Well, my Lord is over him. And when He comes, it doesn't matter what the time is or the darkness of the hour. When He comes to reveal His presence, when He comes to the soul, that's where the comfort is. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Back to our text in John 14. Because now I want to speak a little bit about how He comes. Back in John 14. How do we get to "I will leave you comfortless. I will come to you"? Well, we back up a couple of verses. Look at verse 16. "And I will pray the Father." See, we have an advocate, and we have a mediator, and we have an intercessor. We have one who joins us to the Father. This is how He doesn't leave us comfortless. This is how He doesn't leave us as an orphan. This is how He comes to us. He comes by making intercession. "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. That's the thing. The Comforter that the Holy Spirit and the Comforter that the Father and the Son sent in the Holy Spirit, it never leaves the child of God. We may quench him. We may grieve him. But he doesn't leave. He abides with us forever. When David said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me," remember, this was written in Psalm 51. It was when the Lord had brought down his chastening hand upon David for his sin. And David had opened up, had been shown the glory of the Lord in it. And he said, "Lord, it's against thee and thee alone that I've sinned." But we get in these moments in the ebbs and flows of life, and it's the time that it's absent of faith. Because contrary to what you hear, and contrary to what you've been taught in your young age or maybe your whole adult life, you can't produce this faith. You can't turn on a switch to believe. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe up here, but I'm not experiencing it in my soul. I know what the Scriptures say. I know where the comfort of the Word says, but Lord, it hadn't been brought to my soul." I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And this is how he sent the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, to dwell in us. Even the Spirit of truth. And that's the thing. We have so many lies and deception that are ran down our throat by the media, by the people in this world, by people, acquaintances. It doesn't matter. But most of all, from the Father of lies. And they seem to be so much like truth to us. That's why we're told to try the spirits. Is there torment in them? Then the Lord hasn't given you that spirit. Throw it out. Cast it away. Know that it's not of Him. Because He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I told you that's what He showed me when I sat there at the desk. As I'm sitting there with my head in my hands, and just thinking about how hard the day was. And that was the little nugget he gave me. "In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Lord, what's the victory? Even your faith. The faith born from above. Always, what Paul wrote In Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." See, we read that verse and we go immediately to the end and we say, yes, He gave Himself for me on the cross. And that's what that means. He gave Himself. He laid down His life. But dear ones, I will not leave you comfortless. He gives Himself to His children day after day after day. And that's the faith to live. It's Him. And that's the faith to be comforted. It's His. And that's the faith and that's the life to live now here on earth. Because we're not maintained that way all the time. And you say, "Well, Lord, why ain't your design just to give us faith that we live?" Because it's not heaven. It's not heaven. One day we won't need faith. One day in heaven we'll be taken from this earth and all of its troubles and all of its tears and all of its pain. And faith will be no more because we'll see Him and we'll know as we're known to Him and we'll know Him more. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. It knows him not, but ye know him. I mean, that's the thing. You know, you can tell somebody that's in the midst of a trial, you could tell them, stop, you know him. You know his promises are true. But in the midst of that trial, you don't. You question it. You question it because his presence is not with you at that moment. It's not felt, I should say. It's with you, just not felt. It's not impressed in your soul. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's the union. That's the union of Christ that's apprehended and credited by the faith of the Son of God. And it's not a potential faith. It's the faith that he gives his children. Because he is Lord. Now please would drop down with me to verse 26. Same chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, perfect Trinity right there, he shall teach you all things. He is the sovereign teacher. And you say, well, but wait a minute, can't I just pick up this Bible and learn about the Lord? No. The Holy Spirit must teach you all things. He teaches in afflictions. He teaches just through the Word. He teaches through experience. But it's not what you experience in a day. It's experiencing the soul in the soul work that Christ comes to. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And as he teaches us all things, you know what? We forget everything. How quickly we forget. We can go home today from what we've heard and forget it all. Because we're dependent. We're dependent upon the Lord for his power. And that's when we're willing. In the day of his power. He will bring all things to your remembrance. Praise be to God for that. Because I do forget. I got 4 children. It's hard to remember their names sometimes. But the Lord never, never forgets the names of his children. What a grace. That the Holy Spirit will not only teach you all things, he will bring all things to your remembrance. Well, what things are those? Whatsoever I have said unto you. Has the Lord spoke to you in his word? Can you today say, you know, I know the Lord has been near me. I know the Lord has spoken to me in my life. Well, dear ones, he'll speak again. He'll speak again in his perfect time. And he will bring to remembrance all the peace and love and joy that he has shed in your heart before. And he'll bring it with power again. Because he's faithful. He's faithful, the one who called you. For he will do it. Then we go to verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Boy, how we need peace. But you know, peace, unless it's apprehended by faith, you'll never understand it. You'll never experience it. When you start to see how dependent you are on the Lord for His work, for what He did and it is finished, it really shrinks you down to what you believe you can do. Kills you to that. Mortifies the sin of what I do. How can I apprehend? How can I strive? How can I do this? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. And you know, I don't want to lie about this. There's peace in this world. There's peace in medications. There's peace in riches. There's peace in friendships. There's peace in reports that we hear on TV. You realize that? You realize that there's peaceful things that we hear, and we think that's what our soul needs when we hear those things? But that's not what the Lord's talking about. My peace that I give unto you is not what the world gives. It's not in those things. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because all those things I mentioned, those are temporary pieces. They're going to run out. Every one of them is going to let you down. And there's going to be times you think the peace of Christ has let you down. You know why? Because you hid from His presence. You don't see Him. He's sovereign over that too. The time that He reveals Himself. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. To hear my Savior say those words to my soul, that's how He doesn't leave me comfortless. That's how He comes to me. Now we proceed right on in 15 and we go down to verse 26 in John 15 also. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Now, you ask yourself why He just mentioned that over here in 26 in the last chapter, and then He mentions it again over here. Those of you who've lived this life and have experienced this understand why the Lord brought it up more than once. Because it's needful over and over and over again. It's not a one-time event. The Lord doesn't come one time and then everything, oh, you just live upon that. The Lord comes and He comes again and His Spirit comes again to lead you into truth. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, He shall testify of me. He shall declare of me. When you try in the Spirit, this is the test. The Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. The Holy Spirit testifies of what He did. The Holy Spirit testifies of the life of Christ. It testifies of, did you hear what Paul said? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. That's the Holy Spirit testifying to Paul that his life is hid in Christ. That Christ is his life. All that stuff that he said, I counted as dung, is gone. All of those accolades, all the sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, all of the high learning that he had, everything that he had, he's been brought to this state and it's been crucified. It's been put on the cross. And it's been put there by the one who loves him. It's been nailed down by Christ himself. I live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the Holy Spirit testifying to Paul. I live by the faith of Christ. I've lived in this life by my faith. It got me nowhere. It got me misplaced zeal. It got me persecuting the very Church of Christ that I now love. That was my faith. No, He shall testify and He shall declare of me. And what a grace and mercy that He does it again and again. And ye also shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. Did you hear that? Do you think that as He's talking to the disciples, do you think that He's talking about from the time He said, follow me? Do you think that He says, you know what, the Holy Spirit's going to testify to you because of your walk with me when I called you here in this earth? What comfort's in that? No, he's talking about from the beginning of the foundation of the world. Before any of us were, he was. That's what he's talking about. And you also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. That's the union. That's how he teaches his children. In and from the union of Christ. It's not abstract. It's not, this is the doctrine, live by it. This is the union that we have in Christ that enables us to live. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Ye also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now turn over in John 16 for our last little stop here today. And we begin in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, mentions him again, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How do we know the way, Lord? That was the question asked him. How do we know the way? Well, he's the way. Well, how do we get there? How does this road in this life lead to him? Well, the road in this life doesn't. But the Holy Spirit does. He will guide you into all truth. And see, this next little phrase, this one's hard for us. For he shall not speak of himself. That's hard for us because he's God. The Holy Spirit is God. He will not speak of himself. And you know why that's hard for us? Because we speak so much of ourselves. And when we're in this trial or we're in the affliction, we seem to focus in on self. But see, it's the Holy Spirit who testifies of Christ. He doesn't speak of himself. And you know what? When he comes to your soul, neither will you. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. And he doesn't speak of us either. And when you're in the middle of that trial, in the middle of that hardship, in the middle of that affliction, in the middle of this life, when you find your thoughts are enraptured with yourself, and everything leads back to yourself, and everything you hear from everybody else leads back to yourself, there's a problem there. You're hidden from His presence. You're hidden from what the Holy Spirit does. He testifies of Christ. See, when Paul said that in Galatians, the Lord was not hid from him. The Lord came powerfully to him, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him where life was. For he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. You know, what he hears of the Father, what he hears of the Son, that's what he speaks. And you know, a while back I preached a sermon on Take No Thought for the Morrow. And you know, there is enough evil in this day that we are enjoined not to look past it. But you know what? He does for us. See, the Holy Spirit, do you ever notice that? He will show you things to come. You know, that's future tense. We're cumbered about everything in our future. We are. We hear what the next step is or the next door or whatever it is we're supposed to go in. We're cumbered about that because we don't know what tomorrow brings. We say, yes, Lord, we're supposed to not look past tomorrow. But the Holy Spirit reveals what is to come. He reveals what is to come. He reveals what is to come in Christ. What He has done.
And when the Lord brings that to your soul, then the situation's settled. The Lord has done this. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord's presence is here. That's all I care about. That's all I want. That's what the child of God's desire is. Lord, are You here? Are You there with me? And when the Lord shows him that He is, the Holy Spirit testifies of Him and shows him the things to come. This isn't future events. This isn't Armageddon. This isn't what the end of time. This is life. This is how we live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's what this means. He reveals the next step. He reveals that step in Christ. But you know what? It's in His sovereign time and in His sovereign will. He will show you things to come. And He testifies of Christ. And those two together show us that He shows us what is the will of the Father and the Son in His perfect time. It may be the moment before it happens. But the peace that He gives His children, the I will come to you, it's the presence of Christ in your life. When He comes, that's the power. He shall glorify Me. It's the reason for everything that the Holy Spirit does is to glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. There's our teacher. He receives it from the great prophet, priest, and king. And He reveals and teaches it to His children. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. There's the Trinity. There's the union. There's the union of the Trinity together. And there's our union in Him. But I love this next verse. A little while and you shall not see Me. And again, a little while, and you shall see Me, because I go to the Father. You know, everybody looks at that verse and goes, you know, He's just talking to the disciples because He's about to go to the cross. Everybody looks at the physical. Everything's about teaching physical. Teaching physical. Really? You experienced this? Have you experienced the Lord being there and His presence being with you? A little while, and you shall not see Me. And again, a little while, and you shall see Me. Because I go to the Father. That's our life here on earth. It ebbs and flows in Christ. It ebbs and flows. And you say, well, what separates us? It's sin. It's the unbelief. Have you ever have entertained any thought that the fall was just an event? This is why we're separated. It was a great fall. It was a great and mighty fall. And it shows us our need and our dependency upon our Lord. You know, I'll leave you one last thought. I sat there and I thought, in the moment when my wife was crying out, when I heard her scream, immediately the thought, the words that came to my soul was, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And then what came to my soul was, I will never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. And then what came to my soul was, He was forsaken, so we never will be. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. May the Lord come to each one of you. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious and holy Lord, O Lord, add Thy power. Lord, may You come to the souls of Thy people.
and thy appointed hour to give them comfort, to give them the faith to believe that thou art with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.